You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's talk some state history with our partners at the Michigan History Center. February is Black History Month. March, Women's History Month. November is Native American Heritage Month. But right now, as we speak, we are in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month, September 15th to October 15th. History and Heritage Months are kind of difficult because even though it's important to highlight a diverse community's history, there's a temptation to only consider it within that single designated month. With us now to talk about how we celebrate these history months, including Hispanic Heritage Month, are Delia Fernandez, Assistant Professor of History and Latino Studies at Michigan State University, as well as a recently appointed commissioner to the Michigan Historical Commission. Delia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And we're happy to welcome Sandra Clark, Director of the Michigan History Center and ex officio member of the Michigan Historical Commission. Great to have you, Sandra.
Great to be back with you.
Well, I'm going to start with you, Delia. The town of Niles in southwest Michigan is known as the City of Four Flags because in addition to the French, British, and U.S. flag, the city was briefly occupied by a Spanish force during the American Revolutionary War. And I think a lot of people are very familiar with what's along our, you know, California and what's along our southwest border and our southeast border. But they may be surprised to realize, yes, the Spanish presence was felt in Michigan. What's the earliest recorded mention or event of Hispanic people in Michigan?
We would have likely seen some of the more elite Latin American folks. These probably would have been Spanish-descended people from places like Cuba who came into Michigan for training, for educational purposes in the late 1800s. And these would have been other professionals, doctors. But it really isn't until the 1920s that we have a sustained population of Latinos. And the first population would have been Mexicans, and in particular Mexican-Americans, in the 1920s.
And what brought them here?
Labor migration, labor recruitment, two big streams. And the first is agriculture, in particular sugar beets on the east side of Michigan. Sugar beet companies advertised in Texas, offering basically free transportation to get to Michigan. They would throw in other things like housing when they got there and things like that that really attracted people there. And then the other major stream came from railroad workers. So the railroads, Mexican nationals and Mexican Americans had long worked on railroads. It was very much considered Mexican labor by the late 1800s and 1900s. And so the railroads provided both transportation and labor. And so those are the two major streams that we see in that earlier time period.
Delia Fernandez is an assistant professor of history and Latino studies at MSU. Give us one of the more notable stories of Hispanic heritage in Michigan, one that really stands out to you.
So this is hard for me because I like to study history from the point of view from everyday people. A lot of the stories that I focus on are the very subtle ways that people make Michigan home for them. Hmm. And a lot of my research focuses on Grand Rapids. And so one of the big things that I like to look at is festivals and placemaking and the ways that these practices go back to at least to the 1920s in Detroit and Grand Rapids into the 40s and 50s and how Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans also who came to Michigan around that time are a very small percentage of Grand Rapids, but they were very adamant about having public festivals and sharing their culture and making sure that they were retaining their culture and being proud of it. And so I love to see the earliest photos of Mexican-American processions and Puerto Ricans joining them on horseback in mariachi garb, processionals from St. Andrew's Cathedral down to the Grand Rapids Calder Plaza. I think those are great moments where this is not necessarily a place that is home to them like the Southwest might be, but at least for one weekend a year, they can transform Grand Rapids into this place that is very familiar and very welcoming.
And as you point out, there's a twofold purpose. It is to share the culture with people that may not be familiar with it, but to also reinforce it for themselves.
Yes.
What is the reasoning behind making Hispanic Heritage Month from mid-September to mid-October?
Well, mid-September coincides with a lot of the independence dates for Latin American countries. So with Mexico, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and other countries, their independence is usually starts around September 15th. And there's a lot of dates that are within those first 2 weeks. And then the celebration, like many other ethnic history celebrations, should be about a month long, or that's kind of the trend of what it's been. And so if you start on the 15th, then we'll do 30 days until the middle of October.
Now, some might argue that perhaps relegating a group's history to that 1 month might make people feel perhaps even more marginalized. What do you see, Dahlia, as the importance of these heritage or history months?
Well, I can definitely see that point. I mean, ideally, we would like all of our ethnic histories, Black history, Asian American history, Latino history, incorporated in our study and appreciation of American history. There have been people who have been long fighting for this. I add myself and my students, my colleagues, who are also trying to, transform the way we think about American history to include all of these groups in our interpretation of mainstream history in the United States. But until we can get that completed, until we can make that a very real possibility, these months serve as a period of time where we make this a priority for people to learn about these particular cultures, these particular people. This is a very common refrain about African American history, but the month that is dedicated to these particular histories is more for the outside community than it is for Latinos themselves or African Americans themselves. A lot of those groups are trying hard to maintain in their history and celebrate it all year round, but this is one time that we can make sure that other people are engaging with our history and viewing both the struggles and the contributions that these groups have had.
Sandra Clark, the Michigan History Center, how do you feel the Michigan History Center has affected or impacted the way all groups of people can see themselves in Michigan's history?
Well, we have made that a goal, but I have to say, in all honesty, it is not a goal we've always achieved to the level that we should. And we're really focusing now on trying to do a much, much better job. We've included Latinos in some of our special exhibits. There are references to them in our permanent exhibits, but they tend to be to the traditional concept of people working in agriculture and things like that. And when you get a little deeper into it, you realize there's a much broader story to tell. And our challenge right now is really rounding out that story and discovering it, as Dahlia says, making it part of our everyday look at life in Michigan.
And what's the purpose of the Michigan Historical Commission, Sandra?
The Historical Commission is an advisory body. It's appointed by the governor. They have one major function, which is the Michigan Historical Marker Program. They actually approve all the texts that show up on those green and gold markers. And they act as a sounding board for our staff as we are developing programs. Sometimes they do things, special things like Dahlia's doing today, of actually helping us with some of our programs. So they work with us and can play a very important role sometimes in how we plan things for the future.
Why was it important to have someone of Hispanic descent appointed to be on the commission?
Well, I think we've learned, we've done a lot of work with Native Americans in the last 4 years. And I think in doing that, we all have learned that we can research and research, but we can't see things through the eyes of people from other cultures. And if we're really going to do this right and not just say what we think we see, but let other people speak about the America and the Michigan that they know, we're not doing our job. And so to have a Latina on the commission means that we've got a voice there all the time, not just if it's a topic that we think there might be a Latina perspective on, but no matter what we're doing. And that's priceless in what we're trying to achieve in the long run.
Important perspectives as we are in the middle of this month-long celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month. A big thanks to the Michigan History Center Director, Sandra Clark, and to Dahlia Fernandez, Assistant Professor of History and Latino Studies at Michigan State University. It was great to have you on Stateside.
Thanks so much. It was always a pleasure.
Thanks so much.